It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health Program today. I hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to chat and take time to look at some of the great research in traditional and nutritional medicine. We'll talk about things that we discuss with patients, what works with their outcome. Exercise, taking vitamins, documenting is an important part of maximizing your control over your health problems. When we talk about documenting, we tell people to write down what they're eating, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, every day. And then you could more clearly see, as you look back over a week or more, how much carb, fat, protein you're eating. If we document as well, how you feel. You feel tired, you feel weak, you feel irritable, you feel anxious in different times of the day, write that down. Make a list in the left-hand column of a pad with all your symptoms from your head down to your toes. Think more about your body and start to write that down, because as we start to learn and understand what your body's doing and we correct your vitamins, what happens? We correct your hormones, what happens? Weights come down, memory's better. Things that you may not feel, homocysteine comes down, we correct your B vitamins. Energy improves if we are able to get you methyl B12. Your body can't make the methyl B12 on its own. So in order to really understand your body and to get results, you need to document, and document well. So much so that when I see patients in consultation, they'll bring in a list of their symptoms. They'll bring in copies of blood work they've had done at other doctors' offices. They'll bring a list of a calendar as to how much they do exercise and what exercise they're doing. So this all aids in your ability to keep better control of your diet, your exercise, and your health. The people that don't keep notes or write a journal miss a lot of important information. Then it becomes more difficult for them to see those results. So very important to make your plan, write down your notes, write down your goals. When you've achieved the goal, write that down, check it off. All of this is important in understanding how your body progresses in the right way as opposed to progressing in the wrong way. A lot of times people will look at the scale and see that their weight's going up, and obviously that's bad, that's a negative. But as we start walking down the right street and correcting things, you want to write down, I've lost weight, I've kept the grains and the carbs out, my bloating's gone away, my headaches are gone. And if you're tracking your symptoms, you'll get a more clear picture of exactly what's happening as you follow the right process. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call in to ask your question. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. The website is www.drcal.net, drcal.net, and the Garden City office is 516-794-0404. Plainview is 516-433-3232 if you'd like to call. The website has a lot of information on it, and I constantly try to add to it. Lots of videos right down the center. Patients that have had great results with things that we've done, including stem cell. 2,000 articles on a wide range of topics. We have a podcast on the website, so if you look at the left corner where my picture is, you go down a couple of boxes, you'll see the podcast there. So you can listen to the radio program at any time. And we keep updating and adding to that podcast so more and more people can listen to it and learn, you know, at their leisure, at their time, as opposed to listening it as exactly when the time of the show is airing. So we want to be able to give you a lot of good information. If you want to look at some great research articles, these are things that I look at all the time. I'm on the computer every day looking for this. Great research on fish consumption and decreasing the risk of stroke. This is a great study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It's a population-based prospective cohort study involving 36,470 women free of heart disease and cancer at baseline. They were followed up for 10.4 years. In that time, 1,680 cases of stroke were identified. Different types of stroke, cerebral infarctions, hemorrhagic stroke, unspecified. And the consumption of fish was significantly inversely associated with the risk of stroke. So the good things that are found in fish, minerals and obviously fish oil, decrease that risk. Now, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition is one of the premier journals in the U.S. and is worldwide known and documented as one of the best peer-reviewed journals. So for the people that keep out a lot of the chemicals that come with meats and they have fish, and I go a step further to say some of the real good fish oil on their diet, they'll have far better outcomes, decreasing risk of stroke. Now, of course, you're lowering triglycerides. I would add on to that, if we correct your vitamins and minerals and hormones and get you to exercise, then you're, you know, dramatically changing the risk of disease because we're correcting more of those significant risk factors. Interesting information about zinc and decreasing the risk of prostate cancer. This also from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. This is a population-based cohort study. Men under 80 years of age that were diagnosed with prostate cancer, those that had the highest level of zinc had the lowest risk of prostate cancer. So important that we test for zinc, as I do with all the vitamins and minerals when people come in for the first time. After we make recommendations, we recheck to make sure that the recommendations have corrected the vitamins, have lowered homocysteine, fibrinogen, C-reactive protein, etc. So we're looking at every part of the picture to be able to maximize your result. So we can't forget zinc. We talk a great deal about vitamin D. We talk a great deal about vitamin C and lots of things, green tea extract. But we can't forget zinc. Once again, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Serum antioxidant status and metabolic syndrome. Antioxidants are critically important in the body. We've known this for many years. And free radical damage is what destroys cells and tissues. So a free radical steals a healthy electron from tissue. That's called oxidation. An antioxidant blocks the oxidation. So you're protecting your cells and tissues at the cellular level. This is from the Journal of Nutrition. Again, peer-reviewed journal. So the higher the levels of antioxidants, the more decline, significant was decline in the risk for metabolic syndrome. People that have abdominal obesity, high cholesterol, triglycerides, blood pressure elevation, glucose intolerance, insulin resistance. So vitamin C was one of the more important nutrients that was inversely associated with metabolic syndrome. And in today's day and age when, you know, we see people that have, you know, poor diets, we see people that are making poor choices, being able to change and give them ideas as to what to eat instead of what they're having, radically correcting vitamin and mineral deficiency makes a very big difference. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not a million, studies on the benefit of vitamins and minerals. There are probably 200,000 to 300,000 just on vitamin D alone, and then vitamin C and beta carotene and antioxidants as a category itself. So vitamins and minerals are important. You've got to get those into your body with supplementation. Is, of course, you can try to eat the best foods and the organic foods, and I see people that do that all day long, but still don't have the levels of vitamins that create the best results. So we have to take vitamins and make sure they're in the perfect range, because that will give us far better protection for all sorts of age-related issues. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so now. Let's go to Lauren. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, doctor.
Yes.
Wanted to give you a call about my mother. She is 80 years old. She has a Parkinson's.
Okay.
And she was thinking about your stem cell therapy.
Yep.
She had a couple of questions, so I thought I would give you, you know, a ring.
Of course.
Thoughts are. Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's in relatively good health. Other than the Parkinson's, she has managed, you know, her control, her blood pressure, her thyroid and acid reflux.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, but other than, you know, the Parkinson's, she's had it for a couple years. And she was wondering, you know, what type of success you've had with the procedure with stem cells, and, you know, how long would it take for her to realize some type of success, or if there's any negatives or downsides.
Well, let's kind of answer it in the easiest way first. They're your cells from your body. So they're sitting there in your bone marrow, and they only have one job to do. That's to go to where damage and degeneration is and put new cells to have that tissue function better, to become new cells, whether it's your pancreas for a diabetic, liver, kidney, heart, lung, joint. So there's a great deal of research that has been done worldwide for many, many years. And of course, we have lots of videos and articles on the website so people can actually see those studies to say that stem cell therapy is both safe and effective. They talk about safety and efficacy of your own cells, not from someone else's body. We have videos of Parkinson's patients who've had pretty dramatic results. Those individuals who are in a wheelchair over the course of, you know, years, and now who are able to get out of the wheelchair and function. Everybody is different. So I can't say that every single patient that has any one disorder is going to have the exact same pattern of response. Some people see their vision improve before they see the tremor start to change. Other people can have better balance or, you know, movement before they see their vision or smell start to improve. So we know when you put your own cells or take them from your bone marrow, spin them and put them back into your vein intravenously. And we also use a nasal approach to drip them into the nasal cavity to let it get into the back of your nasal cavity and go directly into your brain, people have some pretty significant results. I don't know how many Parkinson's patients we've treated because I don't, you know, count or have at hand a list of everybody for all the different disorders, but I think it's probably the safest and the greatest way to help to correct the problem that a person has when their brain starts to degenerate. We also have to talk a little bit about the cause of neurologic disease. You could look on the website, and there's a section that I have on heavy metals, and it clearly shows how aluminum is linked with Alzheimer's, lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, all of these things that accumulate in your tissues can cause autoimmune disorders and the neurologic disorders. So we can't ignore looking at, you know, blood and then urine levels for heavy metals, because I think those are the most dramatic causes of the neurologic disorders.
Yeah. Now, she received chelation therapy about 25 years ago for high level of metals in her system to help purge them out. So, by all means, let me ask you this. How long does the procedure take? Is this a 1, 2, 3 visit type of procedure?
Well, typically, a person comes in for a consult. I take their history, examine them. We do testing to look at their nutrients, you know, hormones, et cetera. The second visit, we sit down, go over that, and explain everything. We start correcting things. People can pick at any point to set up the date to do the procedure, and it usually is a very short, visit. It takes about 45, 55 seconds to sterilize the skin, numb and extract the posterior aspect of the iliac crest. That's the bump that goes from where your belt sits on your hip, and then you walk your fingers back. There's a pretty distinct, you know, bottom or end of that crest, and we extract it from there. We then spin it in a high-speed centrifuge, and then we have the stem cells available to put intravenously and to do as a nasal approach as well. So that usually takes, from beginning to end, the spin is the longest thing. It's about a half hour for the spin. Usually takes about an hour for the person to be in the office that day. It might be a little bit longer.
Okay. Not bad at all.
No. You know, considering, and again, if you look at the videos on the website, and I say this all the time, considering how much benefit your body gets from your cells doing the job they're meant to do, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty dramatic. So we've had people that have certain things respond first. Some things take weeks, and then week to week they see improvement, a variety of things, memory, focus, movement. So the best thing that I could say is that, as opposed to me telling you what can happen, if you look at the website and you can listen to the patient's videos, they'll give you a clear picture of how they were and then how they were doing right after the procedure. So we have another 4 videos we're going to be putting on the web in the next couple of weeks on the website. So I think it's important to hear from not the horse's mouth, per se, but to hear from patients who've done the therapy and realize how bad their symptoms were.
Have you ever seen a patient come in, receive stem cell therapy for Parkinson's, and then perhaps they've had some type of negative side effect?
I don't think there are negative side effects with your own stem cells. We don't see that. So they're your cells. They're in your body now. If they were creating some sort of negative effect, then why aren't they creating that negative effect now? That can happen with somebody else's, you know, cells. If it's umbilical cord or amniotic fluid, foreign matter is not meant to be in your body. So I think that there are risks there. And I think that in doing foreign, stem cell tissue, Your body could neglect it, reject it, negate it. Your body may pick up something that you don't want to pick up from that other person. They don't do genetic screening for people that are donors in that realm. So, and I don't know what the chain of command is from a woman who gives birth and hands her umbilical cord over to, you know, a doctor as to where those umbilical cords go and how they're frozen, the quality control of what's going on there. You know, in Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica, I have no idea what they're doing there. And I don't think many people do. So that's why I think that that's not legal to do here in the States. So I think that's a big risk.
Sure. But when you use your own stem cells, you haven't seen anything negative whatsoever.
No, not at all. Not at all. And remember, we're tracking people. This just, you know, it's not like a drive-through. You come in, you get your stem cells, and you go out in orbit. We document everything. We take the history exam, list all your symptoms. Patients write down day-to-day how they feel, which things are improving. So if you got 10 or 15 different symptoms with your specific disorder, that you have to document. And then when we see you 3 weeks later, we want to see 3 weeks' worth of notes as to how you feel day-to-day over those 3 weeks. We could recheck blood work to see that your blood sugar is coming down if you're diabetic or that other areas of your abnormal blood tests are improving. But we need feedback from the patient to tell us exactly what they're walking through. And when we make a list of the symptoms, if it's your mom, you know, we'll ask her about, and you as well, family members come in, how's her memory, focus, concentration, energy, vision, sense of smell, taste, word retrieval, tremor, all of these things, color vision. So we run through a list of all the things that people, as we get older, tend to have and certainly have more of when they have a neurologic issue, document all that, and then we ask, how's this, how's that, how's your vision, how's your sense of smell? Oh, great, your sense of smell is back, terrific. So we list all those improvements, and that's how we document where, you know, you're going from one place in a not such a great zone to a great place as your body repairs itself.
Sure. Is this age specific? She's 80.
I don't think so.
She felt as though she's a bit too old.
No, not at all. Okay. We've had 80 and 90-year-old people that have had great results. Okay, so age has very little to do with it. I mean, people always ask that. So the questions that people typically always ask are, how do the cells know to get there? And of course, everybody understands the human body is the most complicated and fascinating thing in the world. It's the most fascinating mechanism. When I first got into medical school and I learned how the heart functions and the kidney cells function, you know, you sit there and you're blown away. It's just something you just can't believe, you know, until someone explains it all to you and the variations of function, you know, in good function, you know, response to medications. It's staggering. So as your body starts to create repair and we track that, we can see how well one person's, you know, doing to, you know, compared to where they were in the beginning. So it's all, you know, critically scrutinized so we can document that.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, of course, Parkinson's, this is a clinical diagnosis, correct, in a doctor's office?
Well, there's no blood test for Parkinson's, correct. However, you know, you can do CAT scans and MRIs of the brain, and they might say the brain is shrinking. This looks like the following disorders. You know, it's a good point. I think of it now. It's very, very rare to see a person come in where a doctor says, oh, you definitely have all the 15 or 20 signs of Parkinson's or MS. When people go to the doc, they start to feel a little bit off. They may have a little tremor, but that doesn't mean you absolutely have Parkinson's. They may have some issues with memory, with focus. Their balance might be off. Their gait might be a little bit shorter. But as they get older, you're not as, you know, strong and stable on your feet as you were when you were younger and had nice, strong, you know, thick muscles. So your balance could be off. Doesn't mean you have Parkinson's. But after a while, when you add all these things up and you do testing to look at nerve flow, you look at the brain, then you start to come together with an understanding that, look, all of these things are those that are associated with this disorder, Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, etc. So that's why it takes a little time to make the diagnosis. And then some people are given medication to help make the diagnosis. And sometimes the medication doesn't work. So that diagnosis may not be correct. So yes, it's work in progress. It's a working diagnosis. It's an understanding of your body as we evolve over week to week. You know, we do blood testing. We do neurologic testing. Send people out for CAT scans, MRIs. We want to get as much information as possible. And then progress forward into understanding exactly what a person has.
Sure. Okay, well, we're certainly going to call your office.
Great.
And make an appointment.
Look forward to it. Great. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. So, yeah, there are lots of people who come in with a variety of what I might call early or simple presentations. But those people, as you watch them and other symptoms add on, might be developing the memory loss, the dementia, and that could be the patient that develops Alzheimer's. But in a wonderful, in a beautiful world, if we could pick this up and correct things and prevent that from happening, that would be ideal. If a person's gained some weight and their blood sugar's going up and their C-peptide's going down, that's a measurement of your own insulin production. If fructosamine's going up, A1C is going up, that person may be waltzing or running into becoming a diabetic. So if we start to correct the picture, cut the carbs, do the exercise, correct the low vitamins, correct the declining hormones, you know, that can do a lot, especially for the early stages of what I would call dysglycemia, you know, abnormal sugar issues in the blood. So there's a lot that can be done, but it's only with a really good in-depth evaluation of your body. If you're looking at two things, you fix two things, it may not do anything. If there are 10 or 15 things that you see and understand now, and you fix the 15 things, of course, you get a much more dramatic improvement. So it's a process where we literally work hand in hand to correct and improve your condition. You know, it's virtually impossible to do if a person doesn't want to have a part in the dialogue, you know, the conversation. Well, what are you eating? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks? Oh, I eat well. And sometimes I smile and I say, well, but what does that mean? You're not telling me the names of the foods you're eating and how much carb, how much. And then some people just eat and they don't even look or remember it. Then we have them write it down. And invariably they say, wow, I didn't realize I was having so much carbohydrate. Or people say, you know, I don't have much carb. And then I'll say, you know, with a little smile hidden, what do you have for breakfast? And they say, well, I have oatmeal and I have, you know, bananas and I have a smoothie. And then you have to have the conversation of, you know, what constitutes a high carbohydrate diet. And a lot of people still have much more carbohydrate than they really need to have. And then when we change the picture and they say, wow, I feel great. I'll never stop changing, you know, evolving, improving. I'll never stop my exercise. I'm going to keep my carbs within the 30 to 50 or 60 grams per day. If I gain some weight, I go back below 30 grams. You know, we create this knowledge base that becomes, you know, a perfect way to guide you and to keep you in a healthy way. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And you can call in and ask a question. Phone lines are open. Let's go to our next caller. And we have Richard. Hi there, how are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call, doctor.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, two questions. Is there a significant difference between CoQ10 and ubiquinol? And also, how effective is stem cell for type 2 diabetes and lupus?
Okay, great. So first thing, the easy question. Ubiquinol is an electron-rich form of CoQ10. So for some people, that might work better. Although we can't go inside your cells and look at the mitochondria and see how happy they are when you have a lot of CoQ10 on board, we look at your blood levels of CoQ10. Some people that have, and this is a perfect case in point, taken statin drugs, and statin drugs wipe out CoQ10. People get muscle aches and pains, all sorts of uncomfortable sensations. When you replace the CoQ10 or ubiquinol, either or, and their muscle aches and pains go away, you know you've achieved a result. So I can't tell you that one is more perfect than the other. They're both good. It's just some people that don't see good blood levels from the regular CoQ10. When we switch them to ubiquinol, they'll get the result either through blood, and the blood level's in a great range, or they have some sort of palpable, you know, benefit from it. For people that have type 2 diabetes, I use a two-prong approach, and I explain it in this way. The peripheral and the central mechanism. The peripheral mechanism is that people have high sugar because they're eating too much sugar. They may not be doing enough exercise to burn the sugar. Their hormones might be low. That would help burn sugar and maybe fat. And their vitamins are low. Then the central picture is that your pancreas has either been tired of making insulin, so you're making less insulin, or something besides aging and excess sugar intake as a younger individual is damaging the pancreas, for making the insulin. That could be heavy metal exposure, could be infection. So there are a few different things to look at. But the central and the peripheral thing both have to be corrected at the same time, and that's when you get your best results. At the in the same breath of stem cells going to your pancreas and setting up shop and making brand new cells that make insulin, because that's what stem cells have been documented forever to do. They are the only cell that can go to become another cell and take on that cell's responsibility and function. They also have a great anti-inflammatory effect, and that's why research documents the benefits for lupus and rheumatoid. If you look on my website, there are two great videos on patients who are diabetic. There are three rows in the center. The top right gentleman, great guy, he's wearing a blue shirt. He became non-diabetic with no meds in 2.5 months. Then a little bit lower in the center, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth video, another gentleman who became non-diabetic in 2 months. And if you look further down, there are 2,000 articles in the bottom box, and you could look through there to see stem cell therapy for lupus, scleroderma, neurologic disorders, immunomodulation, wound healing, type 2 diabetes. These are just some of the topics that I'm reading through from these research studies. So there's ample evidence that your own cells from your body can have a great repair effect and ability.
Right. Thank
you, Doctor. Look at the website. That's why we, you know, take so much time to put videos and articles and information there, just so you could actually, at your leisure, take a look and see and read, you know.
Great. And your website's
drcal.net.
Okay, great. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Okay, phone lines are open. Is it Ajo or Ajo?
This is Ajo.
Ajo, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Okay, so I have a question. I mean, I have a nephew. He lives in India. Otherwise, I would have brought him to your place, but he lives in India.
Okay.
And he has got kidney problem. Like, I mean, his creatinine level is around 5 or something.
Okay.
And two things. First thing is there any treatment? I believe there is no treatment for kidney other than...
kidney decline and aging, just like decline of your heart, lungs, liver, kidney, pancreas, you know, age-related degeneration, we certainly would have a conversation about stem cell therapy. I'm not sure what research is being done in India or where would be the premier place to look or to go to for that, but I'm sure, just as in all over Europe and every country, China, Japan, Russia, every country is, you know, doing research and treating people with stem cell therapy.
So you think, I mean, stem cell therapy can help?
Yes. Little clinical research shows stem cell therapy can help for decline and degeneration of almost every organ.
Okay.
And this has been ongoing for many years. So.
Okay. Now, so I will see whether he can get in.
Try to find a big hospital, big research facility.
Yeah.
I guess you can go online, and he can go online and look for that.
Sure.
I'm sure somewhere in the 2,000 articles that I have on my site, there are studies about liver failure, kidney failure, heart failure, you know, decline of those different organs, just like there are for diabetes. I'm looking at lupus, lung injury, you know, so there are lots of articles that I, you know, picked and put on there for people to read. So typically we, you know, put a lot of articles on there so people can see that it can be beneficial.
So,
in many cases,
is there,
for different.
Is there anything on kidney?
I'm sure there is. I can't look at 2,000 articles right now and tell
you
where
that's
it is.
That's fine. I can.
But you could look up on scholar.google. This is a great research engine. And look up stem cell therapy for kidney failure, for kidney disease. You could look up bone marrow stem cell therapy for kidney disease or kidney decline or kidney failure. You could look up the word autologous, which is your own stem cells, because they have to be your own cells. Autologous stem cell therapy for kidney disorder.
Okay, now there's a second question. I believe, I mean, there is no, like, medicine or drug that can help getting the creatinine level down. Is there any drug?
It's very difficult to say, because if there were drugs, then people would really never have to go for dialysis. So we'd like to think that there are drugs that can help conditions, and there are, certainly are. But there are people that have Alzheimer's where the drugs don't really work anymore. Or there are people that have stroke or MS or Parkinson's or diabetes. You know, when people have diabetes and it gets worse, they're on more and more medications. When people have, you know, liver and kidney issues and lots of disorders, they're on more and more medications, but you don't see those people turning around and, you know, getting off medications. So decline of your body is partially brought about by the fact that as you get older, you're not making new cells to replace the old cells. You may be accumulating things that have caused damage in your body, you know, like heavy metals. Infection also could create damage. So there's a lot that goes on. So I can't guess as to what your nephew has or has experienced. How old is he now?
He's like around, say, 54. He does not.
Did he ever smoke?
That's the only thing. I mean, he smoked heavily.
Heavy smoking damages every organ, causes cancer everywhere in your body. You know, years ago when I was looking at a lot of this stuff online and was looking at cancer and smoking, you know, there are 4,000 chemicals in cigarettes. I mean, it's a horrendous, horrendous addiction. But I was looking at cancer from cigarettes, but, you know, it's not limited to your throat and your lungs. Cervical cancer in the woman's cervix at the beginning of the uterus is caused by smoking. So those, you know, chemicals get into your body and they could damage every part of your body. Heart attack, stroke, cancer is everywhere. It's just, it's bad. So I'm sure that his smoking has been one of the most rapidly progressive things to create damage in his kidneys, for sure.
That's the feeling I have. Even though he does not have diabetes or he does not have...
We could make a discussion, I don't want to say argument, we can, you know, make an argument for the case that, well, yeah, it damaged his kidneys more than it damaged his pancreas, and maybe the pancreas is still functioning relatively well, but it's going to, you know, change over time.
Yeah.
Because you're damaging blood vessels to all of the organs when you smoke.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I mean, that...
So there's no way that we could predict in any... You could take 100 people. Who's going to develop Alzheimer's? You don't know. Who's going to develop diabetes? You don't know. Kidney, liver, heart failure, brain. You just don't know. If you start to see characteristics, you start to see blood tests, you start to see some of these things, even some of the genetic testing that can be done, you start to see some of this and you say, okay, this person's going to be diabetic because I see their sugars are high now and I see what they're eating. If they're eating carbohydrate all day long, you're making a lot of insulin with the carbohydrate exposure. And after a while, your pancreas is just going to get tired.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I told him. I mean, that maybe it has to do with his smoking. Now he
It has to be. I mean, you know, I would say that smoking damages every single part of your body.
Yeah, so I fully agree with you. And I mean, he stopped, but I think damage has been done. So.
Well, yeah. So the question is, if you understand what stem cells do, and many, many studies over many, many years have described that they go to the areas of damage and set up new cells. They may be the new cells that help to get your kidney to function better. We've seen that in diabetes. We've seen it in all these diseases. That's why for many years, clinical trial and research have used those diseases as study points. So,
okay. So, I mean, I'll do a Google search and find, I mean, whether any very good hospital in India has... that stem cell kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I mean, you know, India, Italy, Germany, France, Russia, China, Sweden, everywhere, they're doing research on stem cells and have been for many years because they've seen the results. They've seen the outcome. So.
And then I went to kidney.org, I mean, that the site in the U.S., and they say, of course, I mean, food, I mean, what a diet, I mean, that also helps quite a bit. So I've told him what to eat, what not to eat, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like saying, if you have a problem, whether it's your house, your car, I mean, anything, you look at it objectively and say, how many different things can I do to make this better? So as I mentioned before with a diabetic, we got to cut the carbs in the diet, get them to exercise every day. That'll bring sugar down, burn sugar and fat. Help blood pressure, help the heart, improve your blood vessels, correct hormone decline, because now the hormones that are back on board will get to all your tissues and make the tissues work better.
Sure.
Correct vitamins. So you want to do everything you can to help that kidney. And of course, the most significant of things would be to use your own cells.
Yeah, so that's the stem cell thing. That's what I thought but I thought I'd ask you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm here. You know, I kind of believe over many years that's why I've been put on the earth, to be able to ferret out, you know, research and information and give it to people and help them get better and keep looking for new and better things. And I think, you know, we're at a point where some dramatic, you know, improvement can be made.
Yeah, because you give answer from practical standpoint, because I've talked to other people. They probably don't know too much about stem cell or other mm-hmm. things, just practical things. That's why I listen to your show, every week.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, you have to be practical, and you got to get results.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the reality is we want results. We need results. So that's why I give people a hard time, and I make them write the list of all their symptoms, and I make them write notes every day once we started them on a protocol or a treatment.
I'd like to ask you another thing. I have Crohn's disease, and I wish, I would have talked to you like 2 years, 7 years back, because at that point, it went so bad. So I underwent ileostomy operation, so I use mm-hmm. my bag.
Okay.
To me back, but
Did you ask them if they can reverse it?
Intestine, still Crohn's tends to come back.
Right. Did you ask them if they can reverse the procedure?
I don't think it really worked because my rectum area
that's affected.
Scar tissue is so bad.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Okay.
So that.
Well, usually for people that have bowel disorders from A to Z. You know, irritable bowel is like the big category. That could be Crohn's, colitis. Could be a variety of different things. We'll test for bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungal organisms, because they could irritate your gut. We'll test for food allergy, because a lot of people that have stomach and gut issues have delayed reactions to foods. And once you test and you get those foods out of your diet, that decreases inflammation. We also would recommend correcting, you know, vitamins, minerals, hormones, getting rid of foods you're allergic to. And we've had patients that have done stem cell therapy for bowel disorders because your bowel is very vascular. So if we're doing an intravenous with the stem cells, that can get to, you know, all your blood flow and get to your gut.
Yeah, so because, the reason I'm asking, even now that, I have to use only small intestine, but Crohn's, also shows up at small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I have to think about, come to your place.
Well, the reason why I say we can create results is because we're looking at many, many things. So our workup is a really thorough blood test. We're testing a lot. We're checking the allergy mechanism, especially because of your, intestinal symptoms. And we try to correct every single thing we find. That's why I think we can get, greater results than most doctors.
Now, the blood test, say you do a lot more blood tests than other people do.
Yep.
But still, that would be covered by insurance.
Yeah, of course. So that's always covered by insurance. The reason why I say that confidently is that because whatever insurance you have, if you have Joe's insurance or Ajo's insurance, and you need to go to a lab that's part of your plan, we give you a prescription, you go to that lab, always. In all the years I've been in practice, we do that. So whatever lab you have to go to, we'll get your blood work done at that lab.
Oh, okay.
Always.
Blood work is done, can be done even at Quest Diagnostics.
Yeah, wherever you want to go.
Yeah,
wherever you want to go. Yeah.
Give
you a prescription, you can go wherever you want to go.
Okay. Now, you are located one in New Jersey and one.
No. Garden City.
Okay.
It's about a half hour east or so of Manhattan in Long Island. Garden City. The phone number is 516-794-0404.
So it's you have to take Long Island Express or that kind
of thing? Yeah, Long Island Expressway or Northern State to Meadowbrook Parkway. When you get on Meadowbrook Parkway, when you see the Stewart Avenue exit, you get off on West or the second building from the corner.
If I take train,
You could. You could take train to Garden City. It's on Stewart Avenue.
Oh, okay. That's very good.
Then you can walk a little bit. It's probably a 5 or 10 minute walk, I think.
Oh, that's not a big deal. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very opportune spot because car, train, you can get there real easily.
And that's your only office?
No, I have a Plainview office, but it's more east.
Oh, okay. So from New York,
Yeah, most people come to Garden City.
Garden
City. Take a look at the website, drcal.net, and we'd love to help you out. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Sean in Brooklyn. Hi there, how are you?
Hello. Good evening, doctor.
Yes. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Yourself?
Great.
I have one quick question. Is this stem cell therapy for bone degeneration of the disc and your spine?
No, there's no way to, well, you're talking about two things. Bone degeneration is bone, disc degeneration is disc, so we can't stick a stem cell or use a long needle and kind of bypass your cord and your nerve roots and stick the stem cells into your disc. When you do stem cell therapy intravenously, it can go to your organs. We've had people that have had back pain say their back pain has resolved. We've had people that have also done vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin C, boron, have had improvement in osteoporosis, so... You know, there are different things that can happen, but I can't predict because I don't know exactly what's going on with your body. Once we do the testing, then we can give you a better idea.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Is the stem cells covered by any insurance of any kind?
Not as yet.
Okay.
Not in this country, unfortunately, but no, not as yet.
Okay, so, thank you so much, doctor.
All righty. Take a look at the website. You'll see some great videos on patients we've done many things with, including stem cell therapy. That's www.drcal.net, drcal.net. And the phone lines are once again open. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. Omega-3 fatty acids are great for a variety of things. They shut down inflammatory cascade. They treat and help to correct high triglycerides. But we also remember... We cut your carbs down. If your triglycerides are high, maybe because you're eating too much carbohydrate, the sugar from the carbohydrate meets fat in your blood. They have a wonderful time together. They're a triglyceride. So if you cut the carbs, kick up the exercise. If your thyroid, DHEA, testosterone is low, we correct that. We can see some significant changes. But the omega-3s are a great add-on for that mechanism. So as we learn about your body, we can use different things, vitamins, minerals, hormones, to create benefit. And create repair. Once again, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. High homocysteine in patients with Crohn's disease. Well, of course, all Crohn's disease patients that have inflammation are missing out on vitamins because the inflammation is not allowing great absorptive ability or digestive ability. So all of the patients we've seen with irritable bowel, including Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, we have to correct their vitamins and minerals. We have to shut down the inflammatory cascade as best we can. We may use B12 shots to bypass the gut. We may use intravenous vitamins to bypass the gut and create far greater results. But the reason why Crohn's and anybody with irritable bowel and progressive irritable bowel, not just talking about a little bit of bloating, can have high homocysteine is because they're not absorbing B6, B12, folic acid. So that's a given. So we look to document all of this when we see patients and kind of, you know, take them from there. Okay, Tom is next on the line. Hi, how are you? How can I help you?
Well, two issues. Well, one, unfortunately, is nothing you can do, but I'm curious. My father had ataxia, and he unfortunately passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you. He was taking Dilantin. He had epilepsy. And so I just... curious as to, would stem cells have helped him at all?
We'd have to look up research on epilepsy. I think it can, because you're putting new cells into the tissue to create new cells that repair as the old tissues did when they were newer. I don't know off the top of my head research on ataxia, where stem cells have changed that condition, but, you know, once the radio program's done, I'm going to get on the computer and look for it. So
yeah, I mean,
typically
was...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying his cerebellum was like half of what a normal person's was by the time he died. So I just
well, what else did he have going on that, you know, besides the ataxia?
Well, I mean, he had the epilepsy, but it was he took Dilantin and it poisoned.
Well, the brain always shrinks over time as you get older. So,
oh, okay, sure.
Yes, you know, the question is, you know, you're losing cells. I mean, we're all losing cells compared to when we were younger. So some people lose brain cells and it shrinks down faster than others. Sometimes you can do a SPECT scan and see if the metabolism of the brain has changed or there's significant decline in that. So, you know, it's hard to give you, you know, these thorough answers because I don't have information in front of me. But, you know, I think the workup would give us a lot of information that is typically not picked up by a lot of other, you know, practitioners.
And now I have a terrible movement disorder. It's awful. And I mean, I missed a lot of work this year because of it. And you know, they call it a spike. But I mean, it affects my arms. It affects my fingers. It's
what did they describe was the cause? What's specifically happening? It's neurologic. It's in brain.
It's neurologic. Yeah.
And what did they diagnose it as?
Well, they called it severe RLS. And that's I've been to Johns Hopkins.
Did they do a SPECT scan at all to look at the metabolism of the brain?
They did not.
Yeah, I think that would be something I'd look at, just to take a look and see how much of a change in normal metabolic function your brain has. You know, if you're putting, you know, billions of brand new cells in and they replace older cells, and this has been documented for all the diseases that we speak about in degenerative disorders, then certainly that would make sense. But I'd have to really get a better picture about, you know, what your body's doing. I understand you've gone to some great places, but sometimes great places don't do all the tests that you would need to do.
Well, right, and that's when I heard your show and I started listening tonight.
Look at the videos on my website, because I can guarantee you there's no other doctor that's got patient results with the things that we're seeing as we have. You know, and you look at the articles at the bottom of my website, you'll see a lot of great information. But
Okay. Take
a look at the website, drcal.net. We'd love to help you out in any way we can. Thank you for your call. Okay, let's go next to Basad in Brooklyn. How are you?
Yes, doctor.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
I had a stroke for 5 years now.
Okay.
And my hand is not recognizing. I don't know.
Okay, well, we, you know, see lots of patients that have neurologic issues. There's a great video on my website of a patient that had a stroke, and we did stem cell therapy. And you can hear him say that within 12 hours, the twisting and pain of his face and the difficulty and confusion of his thought process and putting words and sentences and such together, the twisting of his hand, the issues with his balance and his feet started to change pretty significantly. So that's a great way to look at a person who had a bad basal ganglia stroke. That's one of the worst places to have it, and how well he's done as a result of the combined treatment, vitamins, minerals, hormones, and stem cells.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, take a look at the website. You'll see some great info, drcal.net. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. Angela in New York City, how are you?
Thank you, doctor. I was curious because I read that it's possible to project stem cell surgery to repair vision loss from glaucoma. However, the needles might be a little large and could cause eye damage.
I don't think there's anybody who's injecting the eye with stem cells. I think something in Florida happened to that effect, but I don't think that was actually a medical doctor. So I would deny whatever process was done and a person had a bad outcome. I'm not sure of the entire case, but I heard something about that. I don't think anybody's injecting stem cells into the eye. I don't think you need to.
Oh,
I think if you
use
stem cell intravenously, we've documented that stem cells can go to through your blood to your different organs. In a way, they get off of the train, set up shop, and make brand new cells where you have degeneration or damage. There's a lot of, you know, research, traditional medical research, to support that. I think also we learned how to do a nasal approach where you have the person lay down on their back and you drip the stem cells into the nose so that they hit the back of the nasal cavity and get into your brain. We have a patient where her video is coming up soon. She had macular degeneration, no color vision. She had a big central vision loss, and that's the color vision came back over the course of a couple of weeks. She's about 4 or 5 weeks out now. She can see a line on a paper and sign. She can sign on a line where she would write down her check, her name on a check. She's got some pretty dramatic results. So the possibilities, I think, are there. I just can't, you know, say what one person has compared to another. I can't guarantee an outcome, but I think if you understand how they work, these cells are the most significant repair mechanism ever.
Is it just one procedure?
Yeah, typically it's done once.
Okay.
Alrighty, take a look at the website. You'll see some of this great info. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Mary in Hudson Valley. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm on a car phone, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, my question is, I have chronic reflux, and I know my triggers, and caffeine is one of the biggest ones. I'm just trying to get to homeostasis. And
yeah, it's probably beyond caffeine. What we see when we test people that have reflux, irritable bowel, a variety of stomach-related issues, is that they're either allergic to grains or foods, and when we take those foods out, their stomach symptoms start to decline dramatically. You could have a delayed reaction to something where you're not having the reaction the moment you're eating the food, and it takes hours or days and maybe a week before enough of the antibodies that bind to that food can create a symptom. So that's why I tell the majority of people that have stomach problems, when I see them in consultation, stop all the grains, you know, for the next week or two and tell me how much better you're doing. You could have allergy to any food, so we would look at that through simple skin testing. That's the most accurate way to do allergy testing. So we would look at that. We would do a digestive test to see what your hydrochloric acid levels and your digestive enzyme levels are. So it's a variety of different things that we could do to understand what's going on with your body.
What do you think about anxiety-related reflux?
It's almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg. Some people have anxiety because they have reflux. Some people have anxiety, and then they have a stomach problem as a result of that. We still have to test to see all of those things. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people that have anxiety because they eat too much carb, grains included, and will spike their sugar. They make more insulin. The insulin knocks the sugar down. Low blood sugar causes anxiety, irritability, panic sensations. So there are lots of different things that go hand in hand. They don't have to go hand in hand, but we see this often because they have a similar underlying cause.
And I also feel like I just recently went through menopause. I don't know if that plays a factor.
Well, it has to. I mean, your hormone decline is making your body change. So you can't just think of menopause, as a lot of people do, of female hormone decline. You have to check your thyroid, your DHEA, adrenal, testosterone. Women need some testosterone for good, strong bones, for mood, for sexual ability. So there are a lot of things to look at.
Okay. So. It's very interesting. Do you mind if I ask another question?
We have a few other people online. We have 3 minutes left. It's got to be real quick.
Okay, real quick. What do you know about phantom smell?
There are some people that have distortion in the smell and the olfactory bulb in the head, and that's why they have odd sensations or smells, and they can't correlate them with anything else. But a lot of people have inflammation in the nose or the sinuses that may contribute to that. But we can evaluate that as well. Thank you for your call. Okay, Mark, how are you in Spring Valley? We spoke before, Mark, about Crohn's and irritable bowel disorders. So I think that because stem cells can get to your bloodstream through injecting in the vein, that it can get to the vasculature around all your blood vessels. They're very, your intestines, they're very vascular. But I would certainly test you for allergy to see whether or not you have delayed allergy causing inflammation in your gut or infection.
Yeah, because it's going on for like about 30 years. I take a medication called Pentasa, and that you know, basically deactivated it. But I know it's still there.
Well, it's not deactivating it. It's just changing your symptom. But the inflammation can still be there, especially if the cause is still there, which could either be, you know, allergy of some sort, food, infection. You know, we look for all of that. And as your body's changing, as you get older, you're not repairing your cells terribly well. So that allows degeneration to progress in almost every part of your body.
Mm-hmm. So the stem cell therapy can help for that?
I've seen it work. I've seen it help. It's not the only thing that I'd recommend, but again, we would do a workup first, see what's going on, check your digestive, absorptive ability, look at your blood work, get out food allergens, etc. Look at the entire picture. Stem cells is not the first thing we do. It's one of the things that we can do depending upon what your body tells us. That's the best way to determine it. Thank you for your call. Dolores in the Bronx, how are you? Dolores. Yeah, you have 40 seconds left.
I have polymyalgia rheumatica,
okay.
The doctor says exercise, but I can't exercise.
Yeah, if you have pain, you don't want to do that. So we might use either prolotherapy that can help to stimulate a little healing and maybe better blood flow in the area. We might use PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy. We might use stem cell therapy. So there are different things that we could do once we take a look and evaluate you and do an MRI of your hip. Thank you for your call. Sorry we couldn't get to Ron, but we did speak about stem cell therapy for eye disorders. Take a look at the website. Some great new videos coming up. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. www.drcal.net and Garden Cities 516-794-0404. Plainview 516-433-3232. Bye-bye now.